Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin.
I just thought of the most ridiculous thing to say.
Are you going to do it? Oh, mama, I got the turkey in my belly.
No, sorry. I was thinking gobble till we wobble, gobble, gobble till we wobble. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We are clearly losing our minds over here at the Wonderland on Points podcast, but we're so glad you're here with us.
My preferred Thanksgiving song is, oh, mama, come on and sing it with me. Happy Thanksgiving.
I do not know that song.
Oh, it's coming to your text messages real soon because I learned it at work, as one does when they work with children. And now I play it every Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, very fun. I'm sure Violet would love it. So send it on over.
I sure will.
Okay, guys, we have a fabulous guest today. We are going to be joined by Janelle from Janelle on a Jet on Instagram. Check her out, guys. She is incredible. She goes all over the place. She is big in the Delta world. She is like a superstar for Delta. She's got some fun stories for us. Yeah, she doesn't just fly Delta. She loves Delta.
And she wears Delta. She got the Delta handbag.
Got the bling. I love it. So she is going to join us today. She's going to talk Delta, but she's also going to talk about some really important travel protection that everyone should know, some of the important laws that are in place to protect you when you are abroad and traveling. It's fantastic. So thankful for the information she has to share.
Janelle is absolutely fabulous. I first met her at WITS, and then we saw her again just recently at Travel More, where she was a speaker. And so we dig into some of the things she talked about in that talk. And you guys are not going to want to miss this episode. She is absolutely fantastic. But before we get into that, Mary Ellen, talk to us about some deals.
Yes, it is a big shopping week. I don't know about you and where you are in your Christmas shopping. My guess is not very far into it, if I had to guess based on knowing you. But I actually have already gotten a really good head start on things because, as you know, I love Rakuten. They have been having kind of like the 12 days of Christmas, but the 12 days of Rakuten deals leading up to Thanksgiving. So I bought a lot of things that I had been saving up for. Thankfully, this was one time. It's rare that Rakuten tells you ahead of time how much you're going to be able to save on various days. But with this thing that they have done this season, they let us know when it was going to be 20% back at Ulta. One day it was 20% back at PetSmart, 22% back at
Finish
Line.
It was 25% back at PetSmart. Just
25% back.
Ask me how many points that I earned. Ask me.
Yes. Okay. How many points did you earn during that?
Okay, two separate shopping trips, because who could possibly get everything all in one fell swoop? One, 6,926 points. The other, 3,912 points. This is now more than the amount of points that it cost me to fly to St. Kitts. That was a $400 flight, and it was things I already had to buy. Cat food, dog food, litter, all the things. Get on Rakuten, you guys.
Love it. And then what I did, so when it was the Ulta day, I did two different orders. And the reason I did that is because I had a Chase offer for one of the times, but it capped at a $10 back. It was like 10% back on my Ulta order, but it capped at $10. So I broke my order into two. I used that Chase offer for one of the orders to max out the $10 back. And then I chose to use my Chase Freedom. Right now, if you check out with PayPal, the quarterly bonus, you can get 5% back through that. So you've got to be strategic when you can, guys. Look at your Amex offers, your Chase offers, your Citi offers. Make sure you know what your quarterly bonuses are for your Freedom cards. Let's use all of this to our advantage to pay for our summer vacations.
Amen. I did the Ulta deal as well, and I have the Freedom Flex. I did not have the card with the Ulta offer, which was a super big bummer, but still, 5% back on the Flex is amazing. And then pet stores is the other quarterly category that applies to me. So this has been just a thrilling time of points earning over
thrilling
here.
Thrilling time. Buying dog food.
I have to tell you, this it's
who
a
knew?
Dip. Who knew that I would enjoy spending money on my pets so much? And actually, there's something super weird about being so prepared with like 4 months worth of pet supplies.
Kitty litter. Got me to St. Kitts. That's what you should say.
Well, that's a real coming to an Instagram feed near you. How I got to St. Kitts because of kitty litter. Actually, that's really good.
You know, I'm cooking today. I'm really
cooking
over here, guys.
You're on fire.
You're going to love this. You're going to love this episode with Janelle because we are on fire today, guys. Let's go.
And we're just going to roll the episode right now.
All right, welcome everybody. We are joined by Janelle. And Janelle, for those who cannot see me, I am currently wearing a purple Minnesota Vikings sweatshirt because I happen to know that Janelle is originally from Minnesota, a fellow Vikings fan.
Yes, I am, born and raised.
I love it so much, but you're not in Minnesota anymore. Where are you guys now?
I'm in Seattle, Washington, so the running joke is I'll only move somewhere where there's a Delta hub. So I lived in Minnesota, I lived in Michigan, and now I live in Seattle. So we'll see what other Delta hubs I can cross off the list next.
You are loyal to a core.
Yes, I am.
Well, I'm excited to dig into Delta with you today because that's not something we have done yet. I also wanted to throw a little Minnesota something or other in there because I have also been to Minnesota. We actually have family who lives in Minneapolis, and my brother and I went there on a Swedish heritage exploration trip because Lindstrom, Minnesota is like little Sweden in the U.S.
Yeah.
And we're super duper duper Swedish. So we had the best time exploring that. That was all done on points. Have you ever been up there? Or I guess maybe I don't know if it's up for you. I don't know where you were.
I don't know what direction it is. So I grew up north of the cities in a suburb. I lived in the cities after college. I moved back to Minnesota. So I've kind of been around. My parents have a property in the Cabin area of Brainerd, Minnesota, up north. So I was just pinging between those three locations.
I love it. Well, I absolutely loved my time in Minnesota. I would go back over and over and over and over. So what a lovely, beautiful place to grow up. But Seattle is
another question, though. What time of year? Time of year did you go?
So we have this weird thing we do as siblings where we go places in the off season. We go places in the winter, like places that most people don't go
in the winter. And you enjoyed it.
Yes, I did. Yes. And we also went to Acadia National Park. We went to in the winter. We hiked it in the winter. Everything was frozen. Everything was covered in ice. It was like being in Narnia. When I went to Lindstrom, Minnesota, we actually went out on a big frozen lake and I watched the men doing the ice fishing. They had like tents on the lake and they were drilling down it. So cool.
It's crazy. They bring like whole like houses out there. There's like ice fishing houses. You drive your truck out on the lake. It's like
terrified. I was so scared. I watched a movie as a child where someone fell through ice, and ever since then, I'm like, no, this is not a thing we do.
And it happens. People don't wait till it's thick enough. I've taken snowmobiles on the ice. I don't really ice fish, but we'll snowmobile on the lakes.
Oh, that's so cool.
Wow.
Very
cool.
Yes, I did go. It was very snowy when I was there, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
I'm so happy to hear that. Yes. That is one of the one reason, though, that I won't move back to Minnesota is because I live in an area now where I can wear a jean jacket year-round, and that is glorious.
Yeah, yes. I'm in St. Louis, and so we still have, like, negative days here. I feel like we have all four seasons exactly as they are. Like, the worst you can imagine, we have that. We have the worst worst summer, the worst winter. It's the rainiest spring. We have two lovely days of fall before winter shows up. It's so I'm like, I feel like I can just do anything.
This is why you got into travel, so you can leave.
This there is very go. True. This is very, very true. If it were up to my partner, we would be on warm palm trees are a requirement. Wherever he takes his vacation has to have palm trees, sand, sunshine. Otherwise, there is no PTO being taken for this at all.
PTO will not be cashed in for that.
No. I said, you want to go to London? He said, absolutely not. I will not be cashing in for that at all. I have already derailed us literally 5 minutes in. Mary Ellen is nodding her head because this is just what my ADHD does.
I'm going to start having a little wrap it up symbol. I'm going to start wagging like my little, finger like, in the air.
Land this plane, Joanna. All right. All right. Sorry, but I'm just really excited that you're here. I've gotten the pleasure of meeting you two times in person, and I followed you for a while, and I absolutely love you. You're the Delta girl, the absolute expert on all things Delta, but you also are literally a full-time content creator online, which is extraordinarily impressive and not something that a lot of people can say. We have a lot of creators on, but we don't have a lot of people that truly do it full-time, and I am super impressed by you. So, we want you to give us your bio. Tell us how you got into travel and Delta and content creation. Tell us about you. And we just want it all. We want the tea.
I will give it to you. So I started out, I didn't really travel a ton growing up. My family, we would travel to visit my grandparents in Canada. And that was like our yearly little like road trip. Sometimes we would fly. But travel wasn't a huge part of like our lives, just from a financial standpoint. We didn't do that. So I went to school for engineering. I got my engineering degree. Wow. I worked as an engineer in the corporate world. And that's where I started traveling, was I was traveling for work. And I got the bug. Like, you start going to these places. I was in an industry where a lot of the places I was traveling to were really interesting. Bigger cities. I would go to Europe. When I started going to Europe, I was like, oh my gosh, this is cool. I'm doing this for work. And I began as like a hostel backpacker type traveler, because during the week I would be in my corporate hotel and I'd be on my corporate flight there. And then on the weekends I would stay in hostels and I'd lock my little laptop up to my bunk. And that's how I made it work. And that's what kind of got me started in travel. But I wanted to learn how to do it more. So I started like diving into it, got me into the points and miles space, and I opened up a credit card here or there. I got the points from it. And then finally, one day I took a seminar and I dove right into the world of travel. And it was like, oh my gosh, there's so much more to this. And I'm one of those people that like, once you give me like a little bit of like a breadcrumb, I'm going to want the rest of it. I want the whole recipe. Yes. I want you to tell me where I need to get the ingredients, like all of it. So once I got that little like sniff of what it's like to travel in the world of points and miles, that's when I got like really obsessed with it and wanted to learn everything about it. And at this point, I was still living. I just moved from Michigan to Minnesota. So I was flying Delta. And I've had my SkyMiles number since I was like 3 years old. So wow. I've been flying them for a long time, but not often, because I just hadn't really had that opportunity. And then I started traveling more. And then I wanted to learn about all of the things to fly Delta, because my whole goal was to be able to fly Delta One once. That was what I really wanted to do. I was like, I need to figure out how to do this. Like, I just want to fly business class once. And like, oh, that'll just be amazing. And here I am. And I'm like, I fly it more regularly than I feel like I do economy when I'm traveling abroad, which is nuts. That's to think awesome. About. Yes. So I really did go through, like, the people who've been a part of my page for years and years have seen the growth of just, I was just like everyone else working these, you know, my corporate job and traveling in the only way that I was able to make it work, with the hostels, and then learning about points and miles together within that community. And then I moved into that more of a teaching role with it. And now here I am, like, wow, I can't believe I transitioned through that growth. It wasn't something that it just was, you know, handed to me or something like that. I really had to figure it all out myself. And it was really fun to bring everyone along with me.
One thing I think that's really cool that you mentioned, that I think is the same for Joanna and myself and probably so many listeners, I recently, actually it was while we were at the Travel More conference, my mom sent me a picture of a writing assignment that I did in first grade. First grade, I could barely write, of course, and it said, one day I'm going to have a passport and I'm going to go to Mexico. And my mom sent it to me because she said, you know, Marilyn, I have never had a passport. In my whole life, I've never had a passport. And in first grade, you already were dreaming of having a passport. And I think all three of us grew up and are from backgrounds where travel was not a part of our reality growing up. And now, thanks to points and miles, we're able to travel and do all kinds of things that we never would have done before. And I just think that's really cool.
Why am I getting so emotional?
I know. That's like, so sweet. Like the whole the story and the growth behind it. And just like things that we truly never thought would have been possible are reality.
100%. I mean, it's exactly the same for me. And even, I mean, I'm in my 30s now, even in my late 20s, I still really felt like travel just isn't accessible for us. It's just not going to be an option. And now my daughter is growing up, going more places in 1 year than I went like my entire childhood. And that just blows my mind. And I think there's something about travel that makes children extraordinarily grateful and flexible and exposes them to new cultures and new types of people. And it's just like so good for kids to see the world. And it's just not always an option for people. So anyways, this just makes me super emotional. And when I hear your story, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're such a hustler. And I mean that in the absolute best way. Like you just had to hustle and it shows. And I absolutely love that. So was it living in a Delta hub that really got you Delta loyal? Tell us about your experience with Delta and your like undying loyalty for them.
Yeah, I mean, I was so one of the things when I first started traveling for corporate is one of my coworkers was like, I was trying to figure out like, oh, how are you choosing to stay at these hotels and you know where you're flying? And he was like, pick a brand and stick with it, like earn those points in one brand. And I was like, okay. So I like picked Hilton because that's what he did. I was like, we'll stay in all Hiltons, so I'm earning points under one brand for the most part. And it was just really easy for me to pick Delta, one because I'd already flown them a bunch, I'd had Sky Miles, I kind of understood the program a little bit. But there's a lot of options for flights out of Minneapolis. And then I started flying the other airlines from when I lived in Michigan. Where I was located was really inconvenient, so I was kind of flying, I was flying from a smaller airport into larger hubs, and I'd flown a few of the other airlines and I just wasn't as impressed with some of the options. Like back then when I was flying, this is when like, I mean, even still today, I guess not all of these planes have like seatback entertainment, let alone Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi, we're not even getting there yet. But like, I was like, oh, Delta has seatback entertainment. Like, this is good. Like, we're going to fly them. So I started kind of like prioritizing that with just like my overall comfort and experience with them. And the more I got into the program, learning the ins and outs and just like the customer service aspect of it really sold me on continuing to fly with them. I just had consistent, really good experiences overall. I mean, travel's not perfect. We talked about this at Travel More during my conversation there at my talk, but travel isn't perfect, but how airlines respond to their mistakes, issues that maybe aren't their fault, like weather and those sorts of things, and how they take care of you as a customer is extremely important to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At Travel More, actually, before we really dig into Delta, I want you to talk more about your talk at Travel More because it was so important for everyone because you brought up a lot of the protections that are in place for passengers. You brought up passengers knowing their rights, what they're entitled to when traveling. So let's go through a couple of the ones that you mentioned. You did mention for the U.S.-based travelers, the U.S. Department of Transportation made a lot of changes that went into effect on October 28th, which was some really good news. So share with our listeners a little bit about those changes.
Yeah. So I mentioned that it was U.S.-based travelers, but really it's as long as your flight touches U.S. soil. So that's where these things come into play. If your flight, doesn't matter if it's a U.S.-based carrier or not, if the flight touches U.S. soil, they've got to play by these U.S. Department of Transportation rules. And a lot of the rules are actually similar to what existed previously. The big change, so for example, if your flight is canceled, you are entitled to a refund, not an e-credit, those sorts of things, if you don't choose to travel onward. Those things are still the same and still exist. However, they're making it easier for consumers to not have to fight for those things. And so for example, the airline will have to refund you within 7 days of a credit card purchase automatically if your flight is canceled, if you pay for Wi-Fi and it doesn't work, those sorts of things. That is what the big change was. So instead of you having to, one, know that you're entitled to a refund and request the refund versus airlines were often offering you a voucher and people were just accepting it because they didn't realize that you're actually you can ask for the refund and they have to give it to you. Now they're making it so instead of the airlines pushing it onto consumers, they have to take more of that responsibility and offer these refunds automatically. You could choose to take a voucher. I could maybe see long-term airlines offering maybe like a 10% increase if you, like, instead of giving you the $100 refund, if you take the voucher, they'll give you $120 or something like that. That could be a way that they do that to help keep some of the cash flow in their pockets. We'll see how it actually ends up, where the dice roll and the cards lie or whatever it is after the things settle. I think the automatic refunds is a huge plus though for consumers, because, you know, like, people who aren't aware of these things will have access to getting their money back a lot easier is the goal. So people who travel a lot, you might be aware of some of the U.S. Department of Transportation things, but, you know, we're heading into the holiday season. There are a lot of travelers who are not as comfortable with it, don't know their rights, and then they get into these situations, especially during the holidays where there's an influx of travelers, weather's going on, people will need to get to destinations for certain events, and there's just a lot of stress that can be surrounding it. So these new protections in place, where basically it's taking things that were on paper a right, but weren't really being able to be actualized by the consumer and realized by them because they had to know about it and fight for it with the airline. Now, hopefully it will become automatic. It went into effect on the 28th. I think there will still be hiccups with rolling stuff out, just like everything. So don't expect it to be perfect right now, but know that that is a right that you have that these airlines will have to start adhering to.
That's fantastic. Talk to us a little bit about Europe, because I know there's some really important flight delay rules and protections in Europe, and I think it's not quite the same as in the US. And I also just recently read that if we're visiting Europe in 2025, there is new paperwork that we have to do. You now have to, it's almost like applying to go to Europe. I think it takes place in May of next year. I'm going in June of next year. So this personally affects me. So I'm super interested in it.
Yeah. So let's talk about that portion of it first. I believe it's like an e-visa type thing. I haven't seen what the platform fully looks like yet, but just like when you go to, for US travelers, it is something that we're not necessarily used to, is applying for visas and dealing with this stuff. We're very lucky. We have a lot of passport privilege with our passport. The first time that I ever had to apply for a visa was an e-visa for Australia. I completely screwed it up. I had to apply for a separate visa because I was panicking because it was right before the trip and I was new to traveling. I didn't know how to look this up. I didn't know where to find this information. So that was something where I just wasn't used to it, but they now, other countries aren't charging things. They can charge little entry fees. I believe the fee for this is like €7. I believe the process will be pretty simple. I haven't seen fully what it is. I suspect it'll be like an e-visa type of scenario where you basically put in your passport information, you put maybe where you're traveling, you pay the €7 fee, we go on our way. But we're just not used to that as American US passport travelers.
So
that is something that I don't expect it to be like a huge hiccup process. Like the Australian one, when you do it correctly, is like essentially instant for US based travelers. Don't do what I did and screw that up. That's a story for another day. But it should be, I believe, like a simple process. It's mainly, you know, a processing type fee. Wait for them to get some tourism money, I'm sure. So that's the visa thing. I wouldn't stress too much about it. There's going to be a lot of resources now. We live in the age of the internet where you can find out how to apply for those things. So the US Department of State actually has a fantastic website that details what you need as an American passport holder when you are traveling. So you can look up the visa requirements of all of the different countries that you might be going to. You can see like if there's vaccination requirements, safety issues, any sort of passport like page requirements, if you need a certain number of pages or length of your passport before it expires for you to be able to enter the country. Use the US, it's travel.state.gov. If you use that website, It's a great resource for you to figure out what you need, especially with any changing laws. I was using a lot during COVID too, back when you had vaccination requirements were a very, very big deal. So we have some resources in the US that are really good for that. Utilize them.
For sure. I'm actually going to link that in the show notes for everybody. So head on down there and click it. It's there for you already.
Yes, yes. And then in terms of protections that you have, so similar to the U.S., when you're flying and your flight touches U.S. soil, you have to play by the Department of Transportation rules. EU has something similar. It's called EU 261 is where this will fall underneath. So there are some caveats into when it will apply. But in general speaking, if your flight is touching European Union soil, whether it's intra-Europe, in and out, that sort of thing, it'll probably fall under this category. And if your flight is delayed or canceled, you are entitled to a certain euro amount that they'll compensate you. You don't have to prove that the expenses occurred or anything, they will just refund you. So if you have a delay, it depends on the length of your flight, like the distance, on what the actual amount is. It ranges, I believe, from 250 euro to 600 euro is the amount that you paid out per passenger. But like, we had a flight canceled, this would have been in January, and we each got paid out 600 euro for that because of this, on top of our like accommodations getting covered because we had to stay an extra night because of the length of the flight, all of that stuff. So
those are things,
yes, to be aware of, because they really won't tell you this. Like, you have to go in and apply for it. And they might tell you like, oh yeah, we'll cover your hotel, we'll do X, Y, and Z, but they won't tell you that you're applicable for these other things above and beyond, which is important. Why it's important to know your rights, because they're not going to lead you to the fountain and see if you, they're not going to tell you about the fountain. Like, you've got to know about the fountain and then lean down and drink from it.
I love
it. And that's why you listen to this podcast.
That's exactly right.
This is the fountain.
This is the fountain. You gave a great tip, especially for people like me with the ADHD, of how you keep organized when you're on these trips and something goes wrong and you need to book that extra hotel room or buy a new suitcase or new clothes because your baggage got lost. I want you to share it with everybody because I thought, oh my gosh, I have got to do that. That is so helpful.
Yes. It's so, like, with travel, everything can be so disorganized. Now all of a sudden your travel plans have changed. Things are chaotic. You've got to pay, you got to find a hotel, pay for it, do all of these things, book your, get your taxi and all of this. Take a photo of your receipt immediately, or a screenshot if it's like a Lyft or something. And then I make a folder in my photo app that says like Delta South Africa reimbursement. And I put everything immediately into that folder. So then when I go to submit the claim, I don't have to fuss with any of these paper receipts because sometimes that ink wears off. I don't have to figure out where I found it. Where in my camera roll is it? Like, yeah, it is all right there. And then sometimes, like, let's say Delta only covers a portion of something. Now I have to go to my credit card insurance. Well, one, like, I can go in there and just delete the photo once it's been approved. So now I know I'm only dealing with this number of receipts that I need to go and either fight with the credit card or the company or whatever, those sorts of things. But it's a great place to just set everything in there, and you'll have access to all of your receipts at once, and you don't have to worry about fiddling with them and losing them and that sort of thing.
The number of paper receipts I have lost, I save them all the time. I just put them in my purse and then they pile up in my purse, and then eventually I have no idea what they're even for and they get thrown away.
100%.
You know, and I think this is like an old habit that came from corporate America, because I used to have to fill out expense reports. So I would take a photo in the Concur app. That was the app that we would use. And then when I went to go do my expense reports, like, oh, all the photos that are in the Concur app are the ones that I need to expense. So it truly goes back to the old corporate days of habits, of the expense report habits that I had to build.
Very, very smart. And I don't know why I didn't think of it, because it feels so intuitive, but no. Never occurs
to me. It's just, you get into your normal habits and you forget that. And that's not a normal thing that you're dealing with, hopefully. Hopefully you're not dealing with a lot of canceled flights. You're kind of already off your normal thinking routines and that sort of thing.
Yes, that is absolutely true. There is something in the Delta program that I want to get into in terms of, you mentioned like baggage goes missing or whatever. And I know that there is something you take advantage of regularly for delayed baggage. And so I definitely want to get into that because I love that kind of stuff. So let's transition to Delta now, I think.
Yeah.
And let's just start.
I have a question for you.
Oh, yeah. Tell me. Yes.
What would you, you might know the answer to this already, but if you don't, like, what would you consider a delayed or a late bag? How long?
Well, okay, so before we had Betsy on from her Alaska Travels to talk about Alaska's policy, I would probably have thought something would need to be an hour or more delayed to be considered a delay. But I know what Alaska's policy is, and I believe it is 20 minutes. So I'm wondering if Delta is a little bit more along the lines of Alaska. And I think a lot of people have no clue. No clue.
Yes.
So
most people think like, oh, a delayed bag, sometimes like a day, you know, my bag, I don't receive my bag, you know, like that sort of thing. No, it's 20 minutes for Delta. I don't know whose policy came first. I actually think it might be Alaska's, but they kind of are, you know, competing, especially in the Seattle market here for it. Mm-hmm. So it is a 20-minute bag delay. For Delta specifically, I can't speak to Alaska's policies. Their timing is from the time the door opens on the aircraft to the time that your bag is scanned. Saying that it's, you know, arriving at the carousel, if it is 20 minutes or longer, greater than 20 minutes, you will get 2,500 points. Scott Miles.
I saw on your Instagram that you were talking about how you automatically just, I guess, apply for this every flight, no matter what, because they actually keep time for you, which I believe sets it apart from Alaska. So explain that.
Yes. So Alaska, you have to actually speak to a representative at the airport when your bag has been considered late, you know, under these metrics, whatever theirs are. Delta is a form online that you fill out. So I fill it out every single time. Once I get my bag, I'm sitting in the Uber on the way home or wherever, and I fill out the form. It's very simple. You basically need your name, your SkyMiles number, and your like confirmation code and where you traveled. And you submit that in. It takes me maybe 1 minute, if that, just to get like copy and paste the confirmation number. And instantly I will know whether or not I have the miles or if my bag's arrived on time. So I used to time it and pay attention, or like, you know, okay, I wouldn't maybe start a timer. I'd be like, oh, I got off the plane or the door opened at this time. Here's what time it is, and then I would submit it, and then it hit me, and I was like, Delta does the timing for me. If they're late, I get the miles. If they're not, I don't get the miles. So why am I wasting my time timing this and paying attention? I'll just submit the form and they'll tell me.
It's genius. And I have to know, do you always check something even if you're going the carry-on route just for the possibility of Betsy told us she checked an empty box, okay?
I did check a tote bag once. That was a marketing ploy for video stuff. Like, I don't want to say it was like for the views, but it was funny. It was like a humorous thing where I was like, and also this is only for domestic flights, but we were headed to Japan on an international trip. I was flying a different carrier. We were flying ANA's first class, and we were only going for 3 days. So I only needed a carry-on, but I didn't want my bag to get lost because I was flying a different carrier. They're not going to ship it to Japan. And I am much larger than a lot of Japanese people, let me tell you that. So
hard to shop in Japan.
Yeah, I was not about to find clothes, shoes, anything that would fit me if my bag got lost. But we wanted, my dad and I were had this long layover in SF, and we're like, you know, we still should check a bag. I want the miles.
Hey guys, we're going to get right back to the rest of this episode. But before we do, we have a request.
Look, if you've ever gotten any value from this show and you want it to continue to grow and to continue to serve you and have access to knowledgeable guests, if you could leave us a rating and a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, that would be completely amazing.
These ratings and reviews go such a long way into attracting new podcast listeners and helping us bring guests on the show. It makes us so excited to hear how we are helping all of you reach your travel goals.
It really does. And if you're feeling up to it, take a screenshot of your review after you post it and share it to your own Instagram. And don't forget to tag us at Wonderland On Points Podcast. We would love to reshare it in our own stories.
Yes, we sure would. And if you haven't already, go ahead and leave that rating and a review right now. Okay, let's get back to the show.
And I had this idea. I was like, I'm going to check a tote bag. At first it started out with like, I'm going to check an empty duffel bag. And my dad is like, I'll do that in case you buy stuff. And I was like, well, okay, well, we already have the duffel bag. So then I was like, well, let's check a tote bag. And I filmed it. It went super viral. It was just really funny. So I've done that. That was more so just for like the funny, the humor of it all. The employees were laughing with me about it. Once I explained what I was doing, they were dying about it. And it was really fun. But yeah, I check it. For now, I don't feel. And so the thing is, too, if you get free check bags, either through your credit card, your status, or you get reimbursed through, you know, the Amex incidental fee, something like that, then it makes sense to do this. If you're paying for the bag, I probably wouldn't do this. Like, that doesn't make sense. Yeah. But we're talking about people who have the checked bag for free already. It's taken a lot of stress off of me. I now am not like, I was always priding myself in a carry-on only traveler, and I got really good at it. But now I'm also traveling with camera equipment and things. So my carry-on bag is essentially like my camera equipment. I might bring like an outfit or two just in case that bag, the checked bag, does get lost. I have some essentials with me. But then I have my check bag that I check and I get my 2,500 miles and I don't feel guilty about it or anything.
I love how it's like automatic. I get my 2,500 miles every flight. Pretty much.
Literally, it's probably 9 out of 10 times. It depends on your airport. Some are better than others. It depends on the time you're flying in. Like, if you're flying in during a time when a lot of planes are landing, you probably are going to get the miles. If you're flying into JFK, you're probably going to get the miles. You know, Seattle, those I get it almost every time.
Add up for frequent travelers. Oh, like, that's crazy.
Yes, I've earned so many miles from it. You think for a round trip flight, it's 5,000 miles. Let's say you get it most of the time. So I'm banking on, let's say, 5,000 miles on that. That adds up when you fly a lot, especially like, or if you're a business traveler and you're not paying for your checked bag.
Oh,
so you don't even
gosh.
Have to worry about it that way. Like,
a dream. Reimbursed travel.
Yes. So that I think is huge. People are always surprised. I shared this at Travel More, the amount of miles that I've earned in a calendar or in a year. I think it wasn't technically a calendar. I think it was like February to February. I had to do the math for another project I was working on this spring. And I looked back and I detailed out from bags on time, in-flight service bonus miles, where it's like, you know, your entertainment's not working. Sometimes the flight attendant or like they serve you the wrong meal or they don't have it, whatever. And the flight attendant comes around with her little phone or iPad and they fill out your info, you get miles from that. I also do this thing, which we can dive into more, about when there is something that goes wrong, whether it's hotels or airlines, and I ask for compensation. Mm-hmm. And I received from a February to February year, 204,000 SkyMiles. That is like two massive credit card sign-up bonuses. And those are just customer service bonus miles and the bags on time form. Like, people think that this is not worth your time. And it totally is. Like,
200,000 points is worth your time.
Yeah. And people give Delta's program a lot of crap. There's, you know, the nickname Sky Pesos, which I hate more so just because I don't know, just I don't like it. I don't like the term. But I think too, they're really generous about giving miles when they screw up. So there's like, they're not hanging on to it and making you like really claw at it. They're like, we screwed up. Here's some miles. Like, we're so sorry. Or just maybe something was out of their control. And they're like, yep, we want to make your day, make this smoother for you, because they care about their customer service. Mm-hmm. So I find that, yes, maybe they're not as, you know, you're not finding the Qatar flights through the ANA points and Avios or whatever and getting these crazy deals through it that way. But you can find great SkyMiles deals. They're out there. I book them all the time. And when you're able to get points like this, it really does add up and make it a pretty seamless travel experience.
That's awesome.
So let's really dig into the SkyMiles program. Give us some of the basics of the program. I know there's something called MQDs. Tell us how you earn these things.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I don't
give us an overview.
Get it. I don't get it.
So I think the older program was actually harder to get than the new program. The new program is, they simplified it. That's how they're marketing it. It truly is simplified. A lot of people hate the program. I think they made it easier to get certain levels of status. And that's probably a hot take, but I need people to hear me out on it.
Because
now you don't even have to step on a plane to earn status. It's actually much more similar to American Airlines status program.
Love that.
Than what Delta's used to be. So if you understand American Airlines, you're actually much closer to then understanding what Delta's new program is. So MQDs are medallion qualification dollars. So it all comes down to money that you're either spending to put your butt in a seat on their plane, that you're spending on their credit cards, by holding their credit cards, using their shopping. They've got different portals and promos and things that they utilize, whether you're booking a car or a hotel or Delta Vacations. They've got different promos that go on there where you can earn these MQDs towards your status. So by holding two credit cards of theirs, which again, this it has to make the right sense for you. But if you're someone who's in a hub and you fly Delta a lot, it can often make sense to hold these two credit cards. So if you hold any combination of their Platinum cards, the Delta Platinum, either the business or personal, and the Reserve, business or personal, if you hold any two of those four cards, you automatically have silver status just by holding them. You don't have to spend a single dollar. You don't have to sit on an airplane. Like, you will already have that. So I think they've actually made it a lot easier, because if you are someone who is flying them already and you hold these cards, now you, in order to get gold status, which will give you Sky Priority, has a lot of benefits when you travel international with their partners and things, like, you don't actually have to spend as much money as you used to, because you had to actually sit in an airline seat before too, because you had to earn another metric on top of MQDs, which was MQMs or MQSs, and so you had to sit your butt in a plane. Now you don't have to do that.
Okay, that is pretty awesome. Tell us why Delta status is valuable for, like, people who live in a hub and fly Delta a lot. Walk us through what status gives you at its various levels.
Yeah, so, I mean, at a like, I think the most basic levels, you're going to get, like, a free checked bag. You're going to get some of those, like, priority seats and be able to pick things where your makes your travel experience more comfortable. At higher levels of status, like Platinum, you're going to get automatically upgraded into Delta's Comfort Plus, which is their, like, mid-level, it's like premium economy for domestic flights, where you can get, like, free drinks, a little bit more leg room, a little comfier seats, free snacks, those sorts of things. Immediately after booking, you get booked into the Comfort Plus, as long as there is availability in their seats for that. So last minute flights is, like, the only time you don't get moved up. Like, if I'm booking literally for a flight tomorrow and everyone else has already been upgraded in front of me, but I book a flight that's in, like, 3 months, 6 months, next week, I will be moved into the Comfort Plus seat, which is great. I mean, it makes traveling a little bit less stressful. You're on the plane sooner, those sorts of things. There also is this thing that is called choice benefits. So you get choice benefits at Platinum and Diamond level. So at gold level, you get, like, you get the Sky Priority, which I mentioned. So that's easier check-in, a lot more benefits when you're flying international with their partners and stuff. And then at Platinum, you're going to get one choice benefit. And at Diamond, you're going to get three choice benefits. And they change. They're not the same choice benefits. Once you hit Diamond, you also get your Platinum benefits. So technically you get four choice benefits, one from the Platinum choices and three from the Diamond choices. This is where you can get things like your regional upgrade certificates, which are going to be able to move you into first class, a confirmed seat into first class, instead of hoping for an upgrade, which if you saw, Delta just had one of their quarterly earnings or meetings or something, whatever. They had the meeting with upcoming stuff. I don't call
fancy me. People meeting.
Yeah, they had that meeting. And they came out and said, you know, so much less of their inventory is being used on free upgrades these days into first class. Now, I think the Comfort Plus, I don't know what the metric was on that one, but I know for, like, first class, it's significantly less. People are paying to move into those seats.
He said 12% of people used to pay for first class. Mm-hmm. Now 70% of people pay for first class. So you can look at those three upgrades potentially disappearing. But I guess if you have these choice benefits, then you have, like, a guaranteed, like, a certificate of some kind that you cash in.
Yep. And basically, if a certain fare class is available, you can immediately move in. Otherwise, it does move you to the top of your upgrade list. If you don't get upgraded, you get the certificate back. And then when you are Diamond, you get global. You can choose to select global upgrades. So at that point, then you're able to upgrade yourself into the Delta One cabin. You're actually able to upgrade yourself one level above what you're sitting in automatically. So, like, if you're just in Comfort Plus, you can get confirmed into Premium Select. You'll go on the wait list for Delta One. Most of the time I get cleared. Only one time I didn't get cleared into Delta One from that. Sometimes I do pay to go into Premium Select. There are some tricks that we can also talk about on how to figure out, you know, I am one of those people that is paying to be in first class now because of some of these tricks. So
tell us the tricks.
So there are a lot of the times if you are going to look for a first class ticket domestically, let's talk. If you look for the price at the first class ticket just to buy straight out of the gate, it's pretty expensive. What Delta has been doing recently, I've noticed this for the last couple of years, is I'll buy my main cabin ticket, I'll get upgraded to Comfort Plus with my status. They're going to send out marketing promoted rates. So they are much less than what the actual, like, market rate is for me to upgrade my ticket. So I'm already on this aircraft. I'm already paying to be on this flight. Now I'm going to pay for my seat upgrade. And they'll send me, like, I've seen upgrades into Delta One for international flights for as low as, like, $400 to go from, like, a Delta Comfort or Premium Select into Delta One. So I typically see them around, I would say, like, it for a really good market upgrade rate, around like $800 or $900 for Delta One to upgrade into that. But that's way cheaper than like a, you know, $3,000 ticket.
Yeah.
You're so paying, you're saying, maybe.
Let me see if I can summarize to understand. You're paying for an economy ticket. Yep. And then because of your status, you're automatically upgraded to Comfort Plus.
Yeah. But even if you don't have status, you don't need that portion. That's just what happens with me because I have it. So you don't have to have the status portion. Just to,
I got you. Yeah. So if you buy an economy ticket, which is way less than the published price for Delta One, then they offer you the upgrade and you can end up getting a Delta One seat for way less than the original published price.
Or let premium me, select too.
Do you think it works, or do you know if it works, if you're booking your economy ticket on points? Do you still get those targeted emails?
Yes.
Nice.
And they're in the app. So they'll be in the app is where I see them.
Okay.
There's two ways to look at it. The marketed upgrade rate is will be pushed to you in the seat map. So if you're looking in the seat map and also on your like your trip screen, you can see it. But if you have multiple trips, they're only typically showing you one at a time. But if you go into your seat map, you can see and like a common one I also see for like to Asia. If you're in economy class to Asia, they'll offer you $500 to upgrade each way to premium select. So that's a pretty steep discount for a 14-hour flight versus what the actual marketed rate is on their website, or their market rate is on their website if you were to buy that seat outright. So you can also then, maybe you want it just for the overnight flight. You're okay with sitting in economy for the day flight. Like it's, you know, it's a long flight, but you don't want to spend the whole thing. Then you can just choose to upgrade yourself on the one way. So that's an option too that we do. And I think that is part of the reason that metric is so much higher, because I'm doing that. Like I upgraded my flight for the Travel More conference where we just all were recently, and I upgraded and paid to be in first class. I didn't use my upgrade certificate because the rate was so low. I want to say it was like around $100 each way was what I ended up getting marketed at one point.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, for $200 for like a 4-hour flight, like I'm going to get the meal, I'm going to be able to work more effectively. That's worth it. So I find that the two times I see it most often is the best rates are immediately after you book. Like if you go in 24 hours later, it's going to be gone.
Okay.
It'll be higher most often. So like immediately after you book. So I'm always prepared for like, all right, what's the rate going to be? And then within like 2 weeks of your flight taking off, you know, if they've got some unsold inventory, then they might be trying to get you, push you a better rate.
This is so funny because I'm flying to Atlanta next week for Thanksgiving with my daughter, and we're actually flying Delta, which usually we use Southwest. We live in St. Louis, super Southwest hub, not a Delta hub at all. But I booked us in to a Delta flights via a partner airline because the miles were super good. So it was like 7,000 or something each of us. And that was great. Nothing out of pocket except the small taxes and fees. But I was just in the app yesterday, like trying to click into some of the like more comfy seats, and they were all full. And it's just funny because I wouldn't have even, like, if that had been a reasonable price, I probably would have done it. Cause I was just thinking like my knees are hurting so bad today. I might pay some cash, even though I try to spend the least out of pocket possible, like to get in a comfy seat on a Delta plane. And that's very interesting the way that they kind of structure all of that. And I didn't really know there was like a system to it. So now I feel like anytime I fly Delta, I'm going to be all in the app trying to figure out
how to the app all the time. I'm always in the app. And the thing is too, so like, you know, people talk a lot about how hard it is to get a deal on Delta One. And I agree. Actually, it's really hard to find mileage deals for Delta One. There are some sweet spots, but in general, it can be pretty tough to do that. So what I do, there are a lot of economy deals. There are so many economy deals that they give out. So instead, I capitalize on the economy deals, and I'll either use my upgrade certificates or pay either miles or cash to upgrade into higher class cabins that way with the marketed rates that I see. And, you know, I can also buy a deal. I often will book deals just because they're a good deal. And if I need to cancel it, it's a free refund. I can get it fully refunded.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm like, let me just see if they give me a good rate too. Like it's, you know, maybe 6 months out. I don't know if I'm going to be able to take the trip or not, but like, let's see if I can get a good deal on this cabin. And that might
push the needle
in one direction on whether or not I take that trip.
Yeah. Tell us about Delta One. So we keep talking about getting upgraded in Delta One, but give us like all the details on the luxury of Delta One.
So just like many other airlines, Delta One is it's the marketing name for their business class cabin. And your experience in terms of your hard product of the seat can vary based on the aircraft type. Mm-hmm. So first things first, like, you got to understand when you're buying the seat, you want to understand what the aircraft is, so you understand the value, because some are better than others. Like, mm-hmm. the oldest style that, well, they have a couple older styles than this, but the main, one of the main older styles that they run is the reverse herringbone seats. There's no door. It's a little bit older of a cabin, less privacy, still a nice product, but you've not got to know what you're getting into when you're paying for it, versus the Delta One suites, which have the door. They're the newer cabin. Very, it feels very luxe when you're sitting in it. So yeah. Both are, a lie flat seat is a lie flat seat, but right. if you can choose a suite with a door over a non-suite with a door, I'm going to take the one with the door, you know?
Absolutely.
So keeping that in mind with it is important when you're looking at it. But if I'm talking about like the suites, the experience truly feels just like incredible. You've got great privacy. You've got great storage options. The entertainment is great. Good Wi-Fi on their flights. The beds are really comfortable. I always sit in row one. This is not just a Delta hack, but most airlines. If you're tall like me, I'm 6 feet tall. The bulkhead rows for business class, most people stray away from bulkhead. They have bigger footwells. The okay, bigger yes. footwells are great. So you can move your little feet around way better. I think one of the biggest differences for like an airline is Singapore Airlines. They're, if you look at their bulkhead row foot area versus their like non-bulkhead rows, it is a stark difference of how much room your feet have. It is insane. That one like makes a huge difference.
That's awesome.
And when you're women that have size 12 and 13 feet, which yes. happen to be on this podcast right now, then having a bigger spot for your feet is very helpful.
Exactly. And I'm tall. I need to be able to stretch out fully. So those things are, I always sit in row one when I can. If you are ever on a flight with me or you think you saw me on a flight, look in row one. That's probably where you'll find me. But it's really great. It makes the experience start at the airport for me versus once you land. So, you know, you go, you get to check into the fancy line. Depending on the airport you're at, you might have a specific Delta One check-in area with private TSA or a Delta One lounge. If you don't have a Delta One lounge at your airport, which they're just starting to roll out, then you'll have access to the regular Delta lounge. So you get to have drinks and eat and hang out. And like the experience, if you have lounge access, you know already. If you have never been to a business class specific lounge, that's just a level above. Mm. And that makes the experience start for me while I'm still like at my home airport. Like the trip starts there. It's fun. We're relaxed. And so, yeah, I think the experience makes it just a lot smoother, a lot more comfortable. You're not dealing with the jet lag. Delta has typically really good food as well, I found, compared to other airlines. They've got a ton of meal selections. If you're buying it in advance and not just waiting for the upgrade day of, you can select your meal from an even larger menu than what's available on the aircraft. Mm. Super fun to try all of their different limited menu selection items. And I just feel like the service overall is great. So I love a good hard product, like, you know, the Delta One suites that we're talking about versus like the reverse herringbone. But for me, it's also the soft product, especially when you are someone who flies Delta a lot. The flight attendants want to talk about Delta too. So I love talking to them about like their time at Delta, you know, where they're located, what trips they take, like all of that. I had a flight where I was actually on, the purser on my flight was the person who's number one at Delta in terms of, you know, they have their number one seniority yes. like list. She
That's
is
awesome.
Number one. She is the longest tenure at Delta. It's insane.
Wow. How so did you know that? Does she have some special badge or?
So she's a little bit of a mini celebrity at Delta.
Oh,
I was on an inaugural flight. So I had a feeling that she would be on there. And I got a little birdie told me like the day of that she was working the flight too. So that was really exciting. So we got to hear about all of her experiences through the airlines and, you know,
so
she's been
cool.
in the industry for years. Her family's been in the industry, but it's fun to talk to people about that stuff too.
Absolutely. I love that so much. And you actually, before I talk about sweet spots, I was thinking about how like people talk about like taxes and fees as like a pay to play and talk about booking Emirates and they're spending $800 on taxes and fees to fly those, mm-hmm. those lie flat products. And I was thinking, like, even if you're paying a $600 price to, like, upgrade for cash,
yeah.
like, the taxes and fees are still low being a domestic carrier. So, like, really,
exactly.
that's very comparable. If your economy ticket was booked on points, it's very comparable cost-wise to the taxes and fees of booking something with a gazillion points to fly, you know, a lot of those other big name carriers. Yeah. So
exactly. And if you're not out of like a international hub where like Emirates and Qatar and whatever are flying out of, it's actually a lot more difficult too for you to be able to get to some of those places. I mean, I'm lucky living in Seattle now, and if you're in one of those major hubs, but I've lived in the middle of nowhere Michigan before where that's just like not a thing.
Yeah, no, I'm like very intrigued by this whole thing.
This is why I'm a Delta influencer. I'm sitting on this podcast influencing you to fly Delta.
You are. And I have to be honest, it's not something I've done a lot of because it always to me is like, it's just the bougie airline. And I'm like, I'm just Southwest over here in St. Louis.
My kids are cracking up. Yeah, my kids are cracking up because we normally fly Southwest too because we have companion passes and we're family travelers. Like, that's just the cheapest for us. But when we go to the Bahamas very soon, we're flying Delta. And my son, who, you know, he's not on Instagram. He doesn't like understand the jokes or whatever. And he himself was like, oh, we're going Delta? Like, we are going first class, you know, in the Delta economy. Yeah, we're going first class compared to first Southwest.
First class in Delta economy. Exactly.
Yes.
It's fun.
That was
though.
My first so time ever experiencing a seat back screen was a Delta flight when I was younger. And I was like, what is this? What is this?
Yeah.
Like,
it's funny how memorable that is.
I didn't know it was a thing.
That's how I remember it with like flying Delta is like, oh, they've got the seat back entertainment. Like,
yes, yes, absolutely. But I definitely want to know about points sweet spots for how we might be able to snag a Delta One on points.
Yes. So a couple of things. Let's talk about if you're using SkyMiles specifically, because you can book it really, you can book it through partners and it's typically a lot easier. Maybe not easier. It's typically a lot cheaper in terms of your points expenditure to book through partners. Now, if you're booking with SkyMiles because you have a lot of them, because you have been getting a lot of late bags lately and you want to use those points, some of the best ways I've found is actually Europe doesn't tend to be a great spot in my experience. I don't see a lot of European deals. And if I do, I'm like, well, I could spend just like slightly more and go to Asia. I have seen great business class deals to Asia, around 100,000 points one way for like to Seoul, to Taipei, especially if they're launching a newer route. Pay attention to the new routes. They typically have really good deals. Same goes for economy though in that. So the previous method applies where you buy the economy flight and upgrade. We did that with Austin's flight to Taipei. We did that exact thing. Actually, we originally booked it that way. And then a business class deal came out on it where I was able to find it for like 100,000 points or 150,000 points round trip, I think it was, with our, if you hold a credit card with Delta, you get certain credit cards, you get 15% off their mileage tickets. So we're actually getting a 15% discount on it. And so we were able, I think it was maybe marketed for like 175 round trip. And we got it for like 150 something, you know, somewhere in there, the ballpark. But I found that Asia tends to be a really good spot for Delta One when they're running new routes. They run sales occasionally. If there's an economy sale, they might not have a marketed business class sale, but it's worth checking the business class tickets because sometimes there's maybe a couple of tickets that, you know, a couple of seats open at a lower fare that they're not marketing, but exists out there. Different, like I am a subscriber of Thrifty Traveler. I have a code. I think it's Janelle10 if you subscribe to it for them. But they are Minneapolis-based company. And Thrifty Traveler will, because they're Minneapolis-based Delta Hub, they're also looking for a lot of Delta deals. They're where I find a lot of my SkyMiles deals when I'm not looking for them. So they send out cash deals and stuff too. But like I mainly use their service to find SkyMiles-specific deals.
Yeah.
They're great for that. When I'm like, they sent out a deal last year for round trip to New Zealand, if you held a Delta credit card, it was like 28,000 miles.
Round trip?
In economy.
Round trip?
Round trip.
To New Zealand?
Round trip. Wow. From not just from major airports, from like your home airport. So including Seattle to LA, LA to New Zealand, and back.
Are you
28,000 miles.
Are you joking? Like
I booked three of those flights. I ended up having, it didn't work out with my travel dates, unfortunately. I cried when I canceled, but you know, I was like, it's okay. I've been there. I'll go back again. I'll find another deal. But that one was hard enough. They sent that deal out. It was not a marketed deal. And I was like,
oh. I'm almost afraid to be on any kind of deals list because of the way that my body will hurt when I can't do it. My day job will not allow a lot of flexibility in travel. And also, I have a kid. So, you know, there's that.
I don't know about that yet.
No, you got the fur babies though. I mean, that alone can be tough, as you know, with my indoor zoo over here. So, but I definitely, I can't even believe that New Zealand deal. Like, that's so crazy.
All
I need in my life is a tour of Lord of the Rings filming locations for my life to be complete.
Yes.
So, one day. It's coming one day. Let's talk about, you know, in the points of mile space, we always encourage people to use credit cards that earn them transferable points.
Yes.
The one thing is with Amex, if you transfer to Delta, Delta is an Amex transfer partner. Mm-hmm. There's a fee. It's about 10%, I think, of the price of the flights that you have to pay or how much you're transferring. There's a fee for domestic transfers from Amex to Delta or any other domestic airline. Are there any transfer partners that it's a better deal to transfer your Amex points or maybe your Chase or your Capital One? Which transfer partners are best for booking Delta flights? And maybe you can avoid that transfer fee.
There are two that are my favorite. One is Flying Blue. So Flying Blue is the program for Air France and KLM.
Yes.
Incredible. I find so many deals, both in economy and business class. They're an incredible program. So you can find flights on Delta Metal through them. It is less common than like their own flights, obviously, like that are operated on their own carriers, just like with the next program I'm about to talk about as well. But they exist on there. You can find them pretty often, especially in economy. And we're talking like our flights to Portugal were a round trip in economy for 20,000 miles.
Yeah.
So I was like, we're not passing up that flight.
No, that's fantastic.
And I'm picking ones that are lower. You know, I'm trying to like hack that as well. You can find flights that are priced a lot higher if you want them. But like, you know, there are deals there. The other program that I find that works really well, this especially for business class, is the Virgin Atlantic partner. They have some great deals where you can transfer there and book Delta Metal for less. Now, what I will say is they did just change their structure, like maybe in the last month. It is a more dynamic pricing structure is how they're doing it. With that being said, some of the flights were actually less than what they used to be. So everyone has a dynamic pricing has a bad rap. And in general, if you are looking for a flight that you need to fly tomorrow or next week, dynamic pricing models are not going to be for you because they're going to be charging a lot more. So go to airlines that have a static pricing model where you're flying based, you're paying based on the distance, your points and whatnot. Now, if you are more flexible with your destination or you're booking further out, you just want to go somewhere warm in 3 months because you're depressed because it's cold and dark here, you have a lot more flexibility. Dynamic pricing models can be great because you can find a really great deal on those. So I think it's just also recognizing what your current need is and finding the programs that fit that, and it can change. So sometimes I'm booking those Delta SkyMiles deals directly through Delta for 6 months out. I have a flight to Tokyo, I think, in March that I just booked because the deal was good. I was like, we'll see if I can make it. I don't know. So I'll do book those sorts of things. But then, you know, if I need a flight tomorrow, using Delta Miles probably is going to be a pretty penny and cost a lot. If I go over to like Air France and the Flying Blue program, you can find domestic flights through there using their points as well. I think that sounds like what you did, Joanna, as well.
Correct. It is on a Delta flight, Delta plane, but it was through Flying Blue. And I just found it on Poinsia. I was like, I need to get from St. Louis to Atlanta on this day. It was the top one for the lowest amount of price. And I think there was a transfer bonus happening too at the time. I could be wrong.
Exactly.
But it was awesome.
Totally. There's honestly a lot of transfer bonuses to Flying Blue often. There's often ones. And so I try to capitalize on that too. I love Flying Blue points. They're really easy to utilize and get good use and value out of. So those are my two favorite transfer partners with Delta that I like to utilize. And yeah, it's sometimes better to go with Delta Direct. Sometimes it's better to go with the partners, but you just kind of got to do your homework a little bit too.
For sure. Do you have a favorite credit card out of the lineup that you recommend, especially for people that maybe aren't like massive travelers or not flying as often as you do, but maybe like a family where this card will really just give you some extra benefits and be helpful for your family?
So if you are agnostic to airline, I would go with like the Capital One Venture X, I think is a great card. Gives you a lot of perks for your family in terms of both like travel insurance, like the soft perks where it's like you maybe don't see the value unless something goes wrong. But when you have a family and something goes wrong, things start adding up really quickly with expenses and stuff that you have to cover. I think that's a great card for overall people who are just, you know, the everyday traveler. If you are a Delta specific person who does fly a lot or more often than, you know, the average person, maybe you do a lot of work travel. My favorite combo is the Amex Platinum and the Delta Amex Platinum. Mm. So I think the combo together gives you a lot of really great benefits because with now the lounge stuff is changing. Historically, you would be able to have unlimited lounge access to the Delta Sky Club with your Amex Platinum. You are now, because each card will have a defined number of visits that you can get. Those are additives. You can combine those two. So instead of having, don't quote me on the number off the top of my head, but let's say it's, you know, 10 on the Amex Platinum, 10 on the Delta Platinum, you now have 20 visits.
Okay.
So it does give you more that way. There are some benefits with the, you know, airline incidental fees. I love you can transfer your Amex points to Delta when you need to, like those sorts of things. So you earn at a higher rate. But then the Platinum card gets you like your free checked bag if you don't have status. It gives you the 15% off the mileage tickets. It gets you a companion pass, which, you know, is different than, or companion certificate.
Right.
Not like to be confused.
A one-time
pass. Yeah, it's a one-time version of the Southwest benefit, but that can be great for like the people who are more similar to me in like the Delta flying. Like we're flying quite a bit. We need something that matches. We need a card combo that matches like our travel style. So that would be the two ranges.
I'm curious about that one-time companion pass. Is that a situation where if you've booked yourself into Delta One, does your companion get the same level of seat that you have booked?
They used to just be domestic passes, but now they have expanded where you can use them for like Mexico, Hawaii, which is domestic, but like it used to be the US 48. So now they've expanded it to like the Caribbean. So you can do it in a small international. Most of the time, those wouldn't be Delta One flights unless it's like Hawaii or Transcon.
Okay.
But if you did book into Delta One, if you have the reserve card and you're using the companion pass and the reserve card, which is the highest tiered card for Delta, the Delta co-branded cards, then you'd book into first class, your companion gets first class. So if that's on a Delta One aircraft, because that's what they have, that's what you'll get.
Okay.
With the Platinum card, it's only certain fare classes in economy that you can do. So you do have to book a little bit further out and be a little bit more intentional about using it. But your companion is able to get it too. My whole thing is as long as you are using your companion pass for a flight where you're getting the price of your annual fee back or more,
yes,
it's worth it to hold that card automatically. So like,
yes,
for example, not even looking at any of the other benefits, like the takeoff 15, which is the 15% off, the free check bags, all of the lounge access, not even looking at that. So like we used our Platinum Companion Pass. My partner and I each hold both of those cards. So we have companion passes through all of them.
Galore.
Yes. But we use them. So we had a cruise that we were taking. So we had some defined dates that we needed to get to Miami for. We ended up flying, chose Fort Lauderdale or whatever, but we ended up flying into Fort Lauderdale for this cruise. And the flight was like $560 a person. So the annual fee on the card at the time, I want to say was maybe, it was either $250 or $300, whatever it is. But at that point, you know, we've already now earned that back because one of our tickets was free.
Yeah.
So not looking at a single other benefit on the card, we are now plus like the $300 or $250 or whatever it was in the benefit of that card without looking at one other benefit.
Absolutely.
So that's why I think that that card combo can be good, especially if you have either a P2 or someone that you travel with often. I used to travel with my parents a lot when I would live in Minnesota, that sort of thing. So
yeah,
I love any credit card where you can completely cover the annual fee in a very obvious, easy way. And that's why you shouldn't be in general. We tell people over and over again, don't be afraid of annual fees, especially the ones where you can just super offset. Easy cover the bin. I mean, offset. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for. Offset the price especially of that annual fee.
especially with cards that have really good insurance benefits on it. So like we're talking the Amex Platinum and or the Chase cards, the Capital One cards, anything that has really good insurance, I view it almost like an insurance premium for travel when things go wrong, like that annual fee is, because I know I'm protected up and I've used those benefits before. You know, this, I got a check from Chase for like $3,000 on a non-refundable Airbnb that had to be canceled due to a medical reason from a traveling companion of mine had a family medical event. I'm the one who booked it. We had to cancel the whole thing. It was like a $3,000 Airbnb. Chase sent me a check. Do you know how many annual fees that justified in my mind for that? Like, from having that card in my wallet?
I feel like people often have these benefits and don't actually even understand or pursue them when things go wrong. So that is extremely important to keep in mind. And what a great anecdote for why you can justify an annual fee in your own head, because guys, the benefits for a lot of these travel cards are really incredible.
Yeah. Don't forget to look at the soft benefits. Like, yes, the hard ones of like the, you know, the Amex Platinum, people call it like the coupon book. Yes, there's all the coupons, but there's so many other things in that card that bring value to it that people sometimes overlook or forget about.
For sure. And we've done deep dive episodes into the Platinum and the Gold. I'll link them below if people want to go back through and listen to us talk about all of the benefits, because I think those are beneficial. And it feels like Amex episodes are always applicable when we're talking Delta.
Yes, it's very true.
Yes.
Well, Janelle, I feel like we could talk to you all day.
I know, it's already past an hour.
I can talk a lot. I'm a yapper.
Me too.
We're all yappers. That's why we're on a podcast.
I know. The list of questions I had for you was so long, we can't even get to them all. But I really appreciate you coming today and sharing with us, especially all of these travel protections and benefits and, you know, just like you just said, with the insurance of that card, the benefits both for credit cards and the laws that are in place to protect us. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us.
Yes, I loved it. This has been so fun. Thank you for this conversation. I obviously love to talk. I love to talk travel, Delta, all of the things. So this has just been amazing.
We have loved having you here. And before you go, remind everyone where they can find you. And if you can think of someone off the top of your head, shout out a creator that you feel our audience would benefit from following in the travel space or the points and miles space.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube for under Janelle on a Jet, J-A-N-E-L-L-E on a Jet. All of my, that's my name on every platform. And I think another interesting creator who is similar to me in the sense that we, you know, we like points and miles, but we also travel from the corporate career standpoint, and we do that blended sort of travel model is Raimi.
I'll link Raimi's episode too, but if everybody doesn't remember, Raimi is the only reason I was at WITS, because Raimi gave me her guest ticket when she was speaking, and that's how I ended up there. It's how I met you. It's how I met Ashley. Raimi is you know, everything.
Raimi's so sweet. She gave me her guest ticket at TravelCon. She's literally the best.
She's awesome. So sweet. She's the best. Yeah. Definitely shout out her Instagram.
Good to the core. So sweet.
Yes, her Instagram is Raimi, R-A-I-M-E-E, travel. Yes. So Raimi Travel, she's great. She is someone who works full time, but also does points and miles, and is a great person, I think, to follow if you're in that like blended space where you're not deep diving into it like some of the crazies like us out here that have spreadsheets and stuff to track it, but like you're still interested in it and want to find a way to travel that works for you. And I love her content. She does a great job.
She's so great. And it's actually been a really long time since she was on. So for all the new listeners who didn't go back and start at the beginning, we'll link that episode for you. We'll link her Instagram. Janelle will link your offerings in the show notes as well. Thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This has been so fun.
It's been so fun. If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at FamilyTravel4TheWin with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at PointsToWonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new Travel Rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.